وإذا تتلى عليهم آياتنا بينات قال الذين كفروا the disbelievers used to mention أي الفريقين خيرا which gathering is better وأحسن النديا and which مجلس is beautified more. In other words, look at our people, and one is the personalities that attend, then look at the outward appearance, look at the outward appearance of the Sahaba and look at the outward appearance of these people. In other words, speaking of their garments and their jewelry and the different things that they had to beautify themselves, and compare that with Sahaba who have torn and tattered clothes, who haven't got sufficient cloth to cover their body. So they based it on the outward condition. Almighty Allah mentioned, why is this deceiving you? People came in this world who had greater people sitting in their gathering and who had better clothes than you were wearing, but we destroyed them, so what are you in front of us? So likewise we find here that this brother, he is bragging to the other brother, and what does he say? Look at my wealth and look at my shop and look at this and look at that. But as far as deen is concerned, as far as the eyes of Almighty Allah, in the eyes of Almighty Allah, as we will discuss, we will not mention what happens. Will keep your mouth watering. What is the abode of the two? What is the abode of the two? One was that person who had everything of this dunya, and the other one was that who had nothing of this dunya, but he had the obedience of Allah in his life. He had the sunnah, he had the obedience of Almighty Allah, and the awareness of akhirat, the awareness of Jannah, the reality of Jannah. So perhaps in this dunya, he used to have one meal every second day, or one meal a day. He used to barely ma yasuddu ramak, that used to just keep him going. And the other one, he used to eat so much. Like my one friend always mentions to me, he says, you know, Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they used to walk outside. Why? Ma akhrajaka, what makes you come out? Akhrajani al-ju' huzur bukki shiddat ne mujhe ghar se nikala, excessive hunger took me out of the house. And what is our condition? Najarak boka waikyo, so let me take a walk. What happened? I overate now, so for the food to digest, let me take a walk. I'm taking a long walk. Why? Because I overate. Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in had nothing of this dunya. Materially speaking, they had nothing. They didn't have sufficient cloth to cover the bodies of their deceased. But Allah's qasam, Allah has given them that izzat, that Allah has given them place in the Quran. Allah has boasted about them. A hafiz is incomplete until he doesn't memorize those verses wherein Almighty Allah boasts about the Sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah ta'ala nadara fi qulubil ibad fakhtara Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fabaathahu bi risalatihi wa antakhabahu bi ilmi. Almighty Allah seen the hearts of his entire creation, then Allah chose Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his nabuwat. Thereafter Almighty Allah seen in the hearts of the creation, فاختار الله له أصحابا. Almighty Allah chose some companions for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those were the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, whom wallah we cannot describe and our minds cannot fathom, we cannot comprehend and we cannot perceive the qurbani and the sacrifice that they gave for the deen of Almighty Allah. So they used to take a walk. Why? Because of excessive hunger. And you and I are taking a walk. Why? Because boka waigyu and we overate. So for the food to digest, we make dua to the Almighty Allah that He gives us the tawfiq and the ability of shukr. We are not asking Almighty Allah not to give us. No, we are very weak. Oh Allah, don't test us. We are very weak. Give us excess and give us abundance of everything. But oh Allah, save us from pride. Save us from attributing it to ourselves. Give us the ability of attributing it to you, for indeed it is only from you. May Almighty Allah make us amongst the shakirin.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لكنه الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا قال له صاحبه وهو يحاوره أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا لكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا.
Almighty Allah continuing with the discussion between the two brothers, Allah mentioned that the evildoer, the kafir, the disbeliever, the one that had excess of this dunya,
وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ,
he enters into his garden, and Almighty Allah mentioned,
وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ,
while he wronged himself. Now I want to extract one point here, and I want to emphasize something here, that Almighty Allah mentioned, he was boasting about what he owned, he had pride, he was arrogant, he was rude, he denied the existence of Allah, and as we further will discuss, not only Allah, but Qiyamah etc. also. So what does Almighty Allah mention?
وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ,
not realizing that he was harming none other than himself. By him uttering such statements contrary to Islam, denying the existence of Almighty Allah, was he harming Allah? Was he harming Islam? Or at the same time, can you benefit Allah? Can you benefit Islam? No, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, whoever disobeys Almighty Allah. We heard repeatedly in the Jummah khutbah when the Khatib mentioned,
مَنْ يُطِعَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدَ رَشَدَ وَهْتَدَى,
that whoever is obedient to Almighty Allah and His Nabi, فَقَدَ رَشَدَ وَهْتَدَى, then most definitely he has been guided.
وَمَنْ يَعْصِهِمَا,
and whoever disobeys Allah and Allah's Nabi,
وَمَنْ يَعْصِهِمَا فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَضُرُّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ,
he harms none other than himself. By denying the oneness of Allah, he is opening the doors of disasters for himself. He is paving the pathway of difficulties and hardships for himself. He is asking for the wrath and the azab of Almighty Allah. That is why Almighty Allah mentions, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, that don't be under that impression that perhaps he is causing some harm to Almighty Allah. And Allah, na'udhu billah, needs him to prostrate before Allah.
إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ,
Allah needs not our ibadat. Allah does not need our sawm. Allah does not need our hajj. Allah does not need any action of ours. That is why it comes, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. When Adam alayhi salatu was salam ate from the tree from which he was forbidden, it was prohibited, and Almighty Allah had prohibited him from eating from the tree, but he ate from the tree. Immediately when he realized he's wrong,
فَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى,
so what did he mention?
رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ,
O Allah, ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, we acknowledge, O Allah, we acknowledge the fact that we have wronged ourselves, we have oppressed ourselves. I will mention here, if a person does not eat the correct food, or he does not exercise his body, or he does not do something constructive in his life, these are several manners via which he is harming himself and he is oppressing himself. Islam does not deny that. It is very important for you to eat the correct food, to have the correct amount of sleep, to exercise your body. And if one does not do this, then he is oppressing himself. But at the same time, Islam will mention that the greatest oppression, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمْ, who can be a greater oppressor to himself than that person who denies the existence of Almighty Allah. In other words, this is also oppression to one's body, depriving oneself of the benefits that Allah has kept for insan. If he works, he will earn, and with money he can do this and he can do that. And if he sits at home and he does nothing, then he is destroying himself and he is inviting ruination for himself. But
وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ,
the greatest oppression that any person can do is via evil and vice, that he closed the doors of hidayat by blackening his heart to such an extent that it fails and it refuses to accept the light of hidayat and guidance. So Almighty Allah mentions,
وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ,
all the wrong that he did, it was in his place. He enters into his garden boasting and bragging of what he owns. In which condition?
وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ,
why he was oppressing none other than himself. Likewise, I will mention that person who brings iman on Almighty Allah and who follows the teachings of his beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then at the same time he is benefiting himself and he is not benefiting Allah and he is not benefiting the deen of Almighty Allah, and in no way can he benefit Almighty Allah, because Allah is not in need of that ibadat of his. Whatever he is doing is for his own benefit. It will bring him good in this life and the life to come. وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. So what does he mention?
قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا.
Now these are the follow-ups of wealth. Generally, what comes up, what comes with wealth, what follows with wealth?
قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا.
This house of mine will never perish. This beautiful body of mine, subhanallah, I will never die. This gardens of mine, beautiful flowers, grass, everything is wonderful, prosperity. It will never come to an end. This life is eternal. مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. I do not think that this will ever perish. This is nothing but fabrication. The Maulanas only want to send everyone to Jahannam. They are frightening everyone about the azab, the punishment in the grave. There's a beautiful example written in Sharh-e Aqaid confirming the reality of the questioning in the grave. The author writes that, for example, we find two people sleeping in one room on one bed, and there's something as manam, which is dream, a vision, no one can deny. We find that one of them, in his dream, he is touring the world and he owns the world and he's enjoying himself, satisfying himself in this dream of his. Outwardly, no one can see nothing. Outwardly, he's got torn and tattered clothes. The room is in a very bad state, but he in his dream is touring the whole world. So when you look at him, you can't see anything. You pity that man, but in the dream of his, he's touring the world and he owns the whole world. Likewise, when that deceased is lowered into the grave, outwardly you see nothing. You see no scorpion, or you see no jannat, you see no light, you see nothing of all what has been promised. That the grave will be Almighty Allah, as far as the eye can see, the grave will expand. Now when you look into the grave, then you can only see that very same face, and you can only see that one deceased there, and you can see that kafan, you see nothing more than that. That as far as the eye can see, the grave expands. So just as that person who is resting there in his bed, you cannot see what is happening in his dream, likewise what is happening in the grave there, it doesn't mean only if you can see it is existing. So this person says, because of his wealth, and of course shaitan overpowered him, and shaitan made this life look eternal to him, because that is his effort. You must lead man by making him realize and understand that the life of this world is eternal. So whatever you have contributed in the progress of your material upliftment. So what does he mention?
What? وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا.
This will never come to an end. And at the same time, not only this,
وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا.
There's nothing as Qiyamah to come in front of Almighty Allah. Billions of people will have to come in front of Almighty Allah. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah will need computers and Allah will need calculators. Thousands and millions and billions of people. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Where will Allah remember that who committed what, when he committed it? Billions of people came in this dunya and when, who committed what in the night? Where will Almighty Allah remember it? No, respected listeners, that is the matter. ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنَ النَّارِ. This is the way the disbelievers think, but not, that is not the way the Muslim thinks. In fact, Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam told his son, Ya Bunayya, O my son, O my beloved son, إِنَّهَا أَيْ الْخَصْلَةُ السَّيِّئَةِ. If you have to commit an evil act, فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ, and you must commit it hidden in the mountains, أو فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, or on the skies, أو فِي الْأَرْضِ, or on the earth, يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. Remember, when you come in front of Almighty Allah, Allah will tell you, أَتَعْرِفُ ذَنْبَ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَعَلْتَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Can you remember such and such sin that you committed and that you committed on this particular day, this particular time, at this particular place? إن الله لطيف خبير أي لطيف باستخراجها خبير بمكانها. Remember, Allah is well acquainted with the time and the venue where you committed that particular vice. So what does he say? وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. There's nothing as Qiyamah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, مَنْ مَاتَ فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. Never mind the final hour of Qiyamah. That man whose eyes close, his Qiyamah commences the day his eyes close. So he negates it. Why? Because he wants to live in this world eternal. Someone asked Abu Hazim, رَحْمَتُ اللَّهِ was a tabi'i, مَا لَنَا نَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتِ. Oh Abu Hazim, what is it that we dislike death? We love Jannat, we desire Jannat, but the bridge via which we have to earn that Jannat, that is death, we dislike death. مَا لَنَا نَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتِ. So he answered a very intelligent answer. He says, لِأَنَّكُمْ عَمَّرْتُمْ دُنْيَاكُمْ وَخَرَّبْتُمْ آخِرَتَكُمْ. Because you have beautified this dunya and your akhirat, you have left it like a barren land. Each man's jannat, each man is the architect of his own jannat. How beautifully said, I'll repeat that. Each man is the architect of his own jannat. So what is my jannat is how I'm going to plan my jannat. The manner in which I will plan my jannat, that is my jannat. I know the different jannat that I can have built for myself. The different houses are in front of me, that if I will do this, then this jannat I will be granted. And if I do this act, then Allah will grant me this jannat. And if I do this act, I will be blessed with the neighborhood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sulaha and the shuhada. Now each man is the architect of his jannat. Now what has actually happened, that we have left it as a barren land. We haven't even drawn a plan. We haven't made effort in constructing this home of ours. And regarding the house of this dunya, we got three architects and each one of them gave us a coat, and thereafter we started building. We got five people to come and look at the job. So we contributed a great amount and a great deal in constructing our temporary house. And indeed, respected listeners, we have done nothing when it comes to the house of the life that is to come, which is the eternal life. So because he has made this life eternal, or he has contributed so much to this life here, then he feels he's never going to leave. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. Qiyamah, where can Qiyamah come? Perchance, if Qiyamah happens to come, which I doubt. وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. And if perchance I am brought back to my Lord, I shall surely find something better in exchange. In other words, because Allah loves me. Why Allah loves me? Because Allah has given me this dunya. Allah has given me such a comfortable home. Allah has given me so many hundreds of servants. Allah has given me a beautiful garden. Allah has given me a palace. Allah has given me sufficient finance. So this, na'udhu billah, in his weak understanding, is the open sign of the mercy of Almighty Allah. So because Allah loves me and he has given me so much in this dunya, perchance, which I doubt, if there is something like Qiyamah, and I have to come in front of Allah, then just as he's been kind to me in this world, he'll be kind to me there also. So just as I have sufficient here, I'll have sufficient there also. This is what this wealth is making this person speak. That is why they say, ni'mat aave to itrayo mat, or musibat aaye to ghabrayo mat. When a calamity comes, then don't get hysterical. Calm yourself, understand it is from Allah, and try and solve the problem. And ni'mat aaye, if Allah gives you access of this dunya, itrayo mat, then boast not, brag not, because it is also from Almighty Allah. مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Whatever is happening has been written, and according to the plan in Lawh-e Mahfuz, in the preserved tablet, everything is transpiring. So because you very well know that it has been written, so it should not create pride in you that if Allah has given you, like Almighty Allah told Qarun, regarding Qarun, وَأَحْسِن كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Be good just as Allah has been good to you. Be kind just as Allah has been kind to you. But this person, because of his wealth and because he had everything, what happens is when a person has a lot of wealth, and he has health, and he has everything, then he forgets to turn before Allah. So this is also a ni'mat of Almighty Allah, that sometimes in his wisdom he knows best why he doesn't fulfill our request instantly. So What happens every day after every namaz, we are lifting our hands. Why? Because of the dire necessity and the desperation of that particular item, or whatever the case may be. Each man in his particular situation knows what he needs from Almighty Allah. So Allah knows best. Because of that, this man will continue asking me. And because he will ask from me, he'll feel shy to disobey me because he needs something. This is the fitrat of man. When he needs something, we find commonly before exams, the masjids are flooded with our youth. Why? Because the exams are coming now. So now we have to make dua to Allah. We need Almighty Allah. Unfortunately, we all are like, Alhamdulillah, very well. Even at that time, if we remember Almighty Allah, it's better than nothing. What happens? No sooner did we receive our results and we are happy, we forget the masjid, we forget the house of Allah, we forget the kalam of Allah, we forget those nazars that we made, that if Allah gives me an A, then I'll complete the entire Quran. All that is forgotten, and next year before exams, we'll visit the masjid on a regular basis as we were visiting the masjid this year prior to examination. So what happens when a person has excess of everything? He slips up and he forgets that he's committed and he's bound to his creator because of all the ni'mat. He takes it for granted whatever is happening. So he mentions that perchance if I happen to come in front of Almighty Allah, then because Allah has given me in this dunya, so I'll have enough in the akhirat also. Now, his brother is advising him. Someone is knocking his door to remind him. Sometimes what happens, that a man goes away so deep into this, and he's taken away so much by this, that even the one that knocks his door, he slams the door on his face, not realizing that that man has come here for my reformation, or that particular group has come here to remind me of my duties to my Lord. I should feel shy that, Ya Allah, I have forgotten my own responsibilities and the commitment and the agreement that I made with you, O Allah. I should welcome these people. Indeed, they are my well-wishers. They are there to guide me, they are there to assist me, they are there to protect me. So the other brother now advises. He knocks the door of his brother. قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي His companion said to him, his brother said to him, in the course of the argument with him, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ Do you deny the existence of that being who has created you through sand, who has created you from sand? Have you forgotten that being? Have you forgotten the favors of your Lord upon you? Whose air are you breathing? Whose water are you drinking? Whose food are you eating? Who has perfected your body? وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبَصْغِرُونَ If you want to recognize Almighty Allah, then Allah's Qasam, your body is sufficient for you to bring Iman on the oneness of Almighty Allah. If a man studies his own body, with a clean and open heart and mind, then wallah, it is sufficient for him to be blessed with the wealth of Iman, via which he can recognize the Creator, his nourisher, his sustainer, his maker. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبَصِرُونَ These eyes, these hands, these legs, who perfected your body, who created you, and who designed you? هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ Allah has designed you and fashioned you in the manner He so wishes, Al-Musawwir. So his brother is advising him, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ Have you forgotten Allah? ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ The different stages via which Allah has created you. Initially, of course, your father Adam was created from sand. And from there, the offspring, all his offspring were created from him. So the origination of man is from sand because insan's father was created directly from sand. ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ Then from that filthy fluid of water, which if it touches your clothes, then that particular portion becomes napak. It necessitates a ghusl. ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا From a sperm of drop, then Allah fashioned you into a man. You forgot this. Respected listeners, one is the advice of this brother to his brother. Let everyone of there listening out there to me, in the light of this verse, let us address this particular advice of this chosen servant of Almighty Allah. May Allah reward him for his advice. let us address or let us direct the advice of this brother to ourselves. Am I so engrossed in my dunya? Am I so committed with my worldly commitment? Have I forgotten my Creator? Do I only know Allah Fridays? Do I only know Allah in the month of Ramadan? Do I only know Allah when there's a janaza? Do I only know the kalam of Allah Yasin when someone passes away? I have forgotten my Allah. I have left my Allah. I have deserted the practices of my Nabi. How deep am I sinking into the love of this world? How far is this dunya and the crave of this dunya taking me away from my Creator and breaking my link and my bond with my Master? So such a time is going to come that at the time of death, when the devil is going to accelerate and intensify and increase his efforts, and because of my lack of communication with my Master, at that time he's going to beautify another religion in my eyes other than that of Islam. Allah protect me and the entire creation. Because of my lack with my Creator, when he's going to present the other religion, I'm going to be taken aback and I'm going to be fascinated because I was never thrilled with my Islam. Why wasn't I thrilled with my Islam? Because I never practiced my Islam, because of which I never tasted the sweetness of Iman. So I have deprived myself of the halawat of Iman because of my evil doings. Let us direct the advice of this particular brother, not to him. Let each person sitting out there and listening to me direct this advice to himself. That Ya Allah, Rabbana Zalamna Anfusana, I have oppressed myself. And respected listeners, Al-Babu Maftuhun, the door is open. Almighty Allah is awaiting our tawbah. Allah has given us this chance. Once it strikes our heart and that feeling and that consciousness, let that guilt prick our heart. Let it knock our heart. Let it sink deep down. Let it create a shiver in the body. Let it create a shiver in the body, thus causing tears to drop down from the face. When in the early part of the morning, when the entire creation is sleeping, stand up tomorrow morning. I would request all my listeners and perform 2 rakat namaz, taking ablution and wudu, and thereafter, like Almighty Allah mentioned, وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. To stand up, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَي اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفًا. Stand up, communicate, converse with our Creator. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا. The quality and the attributes of the chosen servants of Almighty Allah who part from the beloved ones in the early part of the morning. In Abu Dawood there is one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Rahim Allahum Ra'an, may Allah shower his mercy on that person who gets up in the night, performs wudu, thereafter he comes before his wife, his beloved, or the wife gets up first. He rubs his hand over his wife. When she opens her eyes, she finds her husband standing there. What is it, my beloved? Come, let us speak with Almighty Allah. He takes little water, reluctantly and willingly. Reluctantly that he doesn't want to disturb his wife. Willingly that because the love of Almighty Allah overrides the love that he has for his wife. Gradually he drops 1-2 drops on her eyelashes. As the water trickles down, she opens her eyes. She's groggy. She's in a sleep. What is it, my beloved? Come, let us stand and communicate with Almighty Allah. My beloved Nabi said 1400 years ago, Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu wa taslim, Rahim Allah, O Allah, you shower your mercy upon him. Respected listeners, take it from me. When that word Rahima comes out from the Mubarak lips of my Nabi, for any person, Allah's Qasam, his dunya, qabr and akhirat is made. Remember one word Rahima from the Mubarak lips of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No amount of our du'as can be equivalent to that one word. If I will make du'a, it can be rejected. But remember, when the Mubarak du'a, when the du'a comes out from the blessed lips of my Nabi, Allah's Qasam, there are no chances of that du'a being rejected. Imagine that du'a taken by Jibreel, from Nabi Kareem Sasim, direct to Allah Pak, coming from the Khairul Khalq, the best of the creation of Almighty Allah. We are crying for problems in our homes. There is no understanding between the couple. We want peace and harmony, understanding. We want joy, we want pleasure. Let us take the dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and let us get up before Fajr Salah. Let us get up half an hour. Fajr Salah is late now. The nights are long. We have ample time. Let us get up, inshallah. Slowly speak to our wife, gradually to our children. What a beautiful atmosphere can be created in the home. Inshallah, the one that will start it there from the family, whoever is listening to me, he will commence with it in the family, inshallah. Allah will make that action continue in his generations, and Allah will bring the good to him in his qabr when he leaves this dunya. But every morning, the tahajjud salah of thousands of will be presented to him. Why? Because he started it one day, and from there the silsila continued. May Allah make us amongst those fortunate servants. May Allah make us amongst those fortunate servants who get up in the early part of the morning and communicate with him and turn to him. And at all,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا فعسى ربي أن يؤتيني خيرا من جنتك ويرسل عليها حسبانا من السماء فتصبح صعيدا زلقا أو يصبح ماؤها غورا فلن تستطيع له طلبا. Continuing with the advice of the Muslim brother, the believer, to his other brother, reminding him of his bounties and his favors, or reminding him of the bounties and the favors of Almighty Allah upon him, and making him understand that he should not develop pride and arrogance, for indeed Almighty Allah has the full ability of snatching everything that he owns, whether it means the wealth that he possesses, and as well I would add that the physical ni'mat and the bounties of Almighty Allah, that is the sight and every other limb of the body, Almighty Allah has that ability of crippling him in many ways. So not forgetting the bounties and the favors of Almighty Allah upon you, attribute it to Almighty Allah and recognize that this only comes from Almighty Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik faminka wahdak la sharika lak falaka alhamdu wa laka ash-shukr. Oh Allah, whatever ni'mat I have, on any ni'mat or any bounty any of your creation possesses, فَمِنْكَ وَحْدَكَ, it is only from you. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ, O Allah, on that particular bounty and ni'mat, we are grateful to you and we praise you. اللَّهُمَّ لَا أُحْصِي ثَنَاءً عَلَيْكَ أَنْتَ كَمَا أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was given جَوَامِعُ الْكَلِمِ, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that, O Allah, I am unable to praise you. I am unable to make you a thana. Allahumma la uhsi thana'an alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. In the manner that you should be praised, oh Allah, I cannot praise you. Laka alhamdu hatta tarda, wa laka alhamdu idha radita, wa laka alhamdu ba'da al-rida. Laka alhamdu mil'a al-samawati wal-ardi wa mil'a ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'du. Oh Allah, equivalent to the skies and the earth and everything that is beneath, everything that is between that, oh Allah, everything filled with your gratitude, oh Almighty Allah. So this brother advising his brother that, oh my brother, perhaps you have enough of this dunya and there are a lot of people to carry out your request. There are a lot of people to dance to your tune. Allah has given you sufficient of this world. But remember, you are not out of the control of Almighty Allah. And if Allah perchance extends his rope, they don't think that you can also, you are out of the control of Almighty Allah. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't forever, for a moment, think that Allah is unaware of the evil of the disbelievers and the evil doers, those that are transgressing and violating the orders of Almighty Allah. Don't ever think that Allah doesn't know and Allah is giving them everything. Looks like Allah forgot them. Na'udhu billah. Allah knows everything what is happening. And like Almighty Allah mentions, that Allah is extending the rope of what? Of prosperity, of life, of comfort, of health, of wealth. Why? لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا, so that they can go deeper into vice
ولهم عذاب مهين and a disgraceful punishment awaits them. After giving his brother the advice, then he mentions his belief. لكنه والله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا. But as for me, I believe in one Almighty Allah. ولا أشرك بربي أحدا. And I will never ascribe partners with Almighty Allah. We find that Alhamdulillah, we never ascribe partners with Almighty Allah, and Allah make it such that we never do ascribe partners with Almighty Allah. But it comes in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ What I fear on my ummah is shirk al-sagheer, the small shirk. Sahaba Ikram inquired, O Nabi of Allah, what is meant by this? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that it is to do some action without ikhlas. In other words, to do an action for name and fame, to contribute in the path of Almighty Allah so that the world can see how generous I am, so that the world knows that way I am using my wealth, not so that Almighty Allah can reward me. To do something good and then mannan, to give him reminders of his generosity, that I have been so good to you and I have been so generous to you, and because of me this is your financial position, and because of me today your children are doctors and they are lawyers. Why? Because I finance them. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. Almighty Allah dislikes any good which is followed up by reminders. So when a person does a good act, to keep the intention and that ikhlas that I'm only doing it for Almighty Allah, and if he has some other ulterior motive, then this is not the shirk kabir, but it is shirk saghir. In one kitab I read, one alim writes, what is the definition of ikhlas? Alladhi yaktum is that person who just as he conceals his good, he conceals his evil. Subhanallah. That person who conceals his good, just as he conceals his evil. In other words, we know our past life, we don't mention it to our wives, we don't mention it to our children. Our children are unaware of how we have spent our youth. When they look at us, then we look like angels in front of them. But what is our past life, our Allah knows. So we don't reveal it to anyone. The wrong that we are doing, whether it means in our businesses or lying or cheating or gambling or fornication or consuming of liquor or any vice for that matter, we conceal it. We reveal it not to anyone. Why? Because we don't want to embarrass ourselves. And it is the mercy of Allah that He has put a veil also over it. So that person who conceals his good just as he conceals his evil, that man has ikhlas. May Almighty Allah bless us all with the reality and the haqiqat of ikhlas. So he mentions to his brother, لَكِنَّهُ وَاللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا That I believe in one Almighty Allah, وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا And just as you are ascribing partners to Allah, I am free from that and I will never ascribe partners to Almighty Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu, O Mu'adh, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ قُتِلْتَ أَوْ حُرِّقْتَ Do not ascribe partners with Almighty Allah, even if it means وَإِنْ قُتِلْتَ that you are murdered, أَوْ حُرِّقْتَ or you are burnt alive, you are burnt and you are chopped into bits and pieces. Then to O Mu'adh, tolerate that persecution and accept that difficulty, but ascribe not partners with Almighty Allah. For indeed, إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. That there are chances that every crime can be pardoned by Almighty Allah, and Allah will overlook it and Allah will forgive it. But regarding that person who comes in front of Almighty Allah and he had ascribed partners with Almighty Allah, then Allah has announced it repeatedly in the Quran that there is no chances that shirk will be pardoned. Yes, if in this dunya his eyes opens and he repents to Almighty Allah, then al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qabla, then Islam is such a beautiful religion that everything of his, all the wrong and all the vice will be forgiven. But if a man leaves this dunya in the state of shirk and he comes in front of Allah in the state of shirk, then that shirk will not be pardoned and it will not be forgiven. So he mentions very clearly, وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا He continues advising his brother, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ when you entered into this orchards of yours or these gardens of yours or whatever Allah had given you, I am not saying, one person explained it very beautifully, that Islam does not teach us to divorce ourselves from the world. No. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith that person who spends on his family, that is sadaqah. Dinarun anfaqtahu fi sabilillah. One is that dinar that you spend in the path of Allah. One is that dinar that you spend in your business. And one is that dinar that you spend in the needs and necessities of your wives and children. The one that is most beloved in the eyes of Allah is the one that you have spent for the needs and necessities of your family. So Nabi Karim Sassam is actually giving us targheeb. We are not being prohibited from staying with our wives and children. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that person who stretches his hand and places the morsel of food in his wife's mouth with love, muhabbat and affection, then Almighty Allah will give him sawab over that. In fact, it comes in the hadith, even Almighty Allah will reward him when he shares the bed with his wife. Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in asked Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Nabi of Allah, when a man shares the bed with his wife, then he is satisfying his passion. How can there be sawab in that? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, after all, it was Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If that person satisfies his passion, what a person who Allah has made it, who Allah has not made it permissible for him to satisfy his passion with. In other words, not with such a woman with whom his nikah has been performed. Will it be correct for him? So Sahaba said, no, O Nabi of Allah, he will be punished. So if he will be punished, if he will satisfy himself in the wrong manner, likewise when he will satisfy himself in the right manner, then he will be rewarded. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving us targheeb to stay with our families. We are not taught to give up our business. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, At-tajiru as-saduq ma'an nabiyyin, that honest businessman will be resurrected with the Anbiya. But the teachings of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that we will live with our families, we will live with our wives, our children, our parents, we will conduct our businesses, we will visit our friends, we will do everything, but preference and priority will be given to the Deen of Almighty Allah, and everything will be done in accordance to the teachings and the practices and the Shari'at of Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu wa taslim. So this brother, he doesn't criticize his brother for owning so much of this world. He doesn't say that why did you use this wealth in the akhirat. No, each man has his option how you want to spend your wealth. But what does he criticize here? The pride that he developed after owning the world. Let us understand this. Islam does not prohibit from having a good house and a good car. But let us attribute it to Almighty Allah. But at the same time I will mention, the ulama have written, one is ghaniya shakir and one is faqira sabir. One is that wealthy person who is grateful to Almighty Allah, and one is that poor person who makes sabr and has patience in which what Allah, the difficulties that comes his way. The ulama have written that poor man who makes sabr, his status is far above that wealthy person that makes shukr. Although that wealthy man that makes shukr also will be granted jannat. He will be granted jannat because he has attributed to Almighty Allah. But that poor person that makes sabr, of course his difficulties and his problems can be well understood by every person, especially living today in the time wherein everything is money today. Nothing is cheap. So faqir sabir, that poor person who has sabr, his darja is above that other, the ghani shakir. Although the ghani, the wealthy man who will have shukr, Almighty Allah will grant him jannat most definitely. And if he utilizes that wealth in the avenues of good and he spends all his wealth in the path of Allah, then who knows, he can surpass the poor person also, because he had spent so much in the path of Almighty Allah. So he mentions to him, he criticizes the pride that he developed. He does not criticize the world that he owns or the beauty that he possesses. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Why did you not say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah? When you entered into this garden of yours, subhanallah, you were taken aback. It happens to insan. You look at your children, MashaAllah, what a nice son Allah has given me. What a beautiful child Allah has blessed me with. What a learned child Allah has blessed me with. What beautiful daughters, what beautiful parents Almighty Allah has blessed me with. What a beautiful house Allah has blessed me with. What a beautiful uncle Allah has blessed me with. When we look at these ni'mat and these bounties, what a beautiful baby Allah has given me. Head to toe, I can only see the qudrat and the ni'mat and the bounties of Allah in this child of mine.
So what should you mention at that time? To protect that particular person from the evil eye, what we call the bad nazar. What should be recited in Shu'bul Iman on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu? The hadith is there, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, whoever will say, ma sha Allahu la quwwata illa billah, Allah will protect him from every calamity. We come outside, mashallah, Allah has given us a 7 series BM. We paid so much for it. Of course, we are frightened of bad nazar, evil, hasad, etc. Let us say, ma sha Allah la quwwata illa billah, and hand it over to Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, I am praising you that you gave me the wealth of Allah, you gave me the ability and I purchased this car. Ya Allah, you give me the tawfiq to benefit from this vehicle of mine, so Allah. So he is telling his brother, when you enter into your garden, instead of saying that I got more than you and I own more than you and more people know me and no one knows you, he should have said, Subhanallah, how merciful Allah is. He distributes what he wants to whom he wants to. I should be grateful to Allah that this is what he has given me. Each person should look at those that are beneath him. We have heard this repeatedly, but unfortunately it's not prevalent amongst us. That is why the quality of nashukr develops in us. We find that we slip up, that there are people that don't possess shelter. There are people that don't have a plate of food before them. There are people that don't know when the next meal will come and from where it will come and what will it be. And we are so fussy that before we leave home, we give the whole menu for the day and for the week. So, this is the mercy of Almighty Allah. Let us look at those who own less than us. So it will boost us and it will encourage us and motivate us to learn to be grateful to Almighty Allah, attributing it to Almighty Allah. إِن تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. Then he gives his brother a stern warning now. Now he gives his brother a stern warning. What does he say? If you see me to be less than you, as far as wealth is concerned, and as far as sons are concerned, and as far as materially speaking, you find me to be less than you, and you find yourself to be in a better position. Now he gives a stern warning. فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ. Now he was the friend of Almighty Allah. He was the friend of Almighty Allah, which Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّ. There are many servants of Almighty Allah, when they say something, then Almighty Allah makes it happen like how they say. Because of the link that they possess, and the ta'alluq that they possess with Almighty Allah. So what did he say now? He was speaking, supporting his claim or his baddua with the unseen help of Almighty Allah. Supporting it, giving it evidence and backing it up